Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yo!
Marquee game of the night in Major League Baseball right now. The Padres lead the Dodgers 6-1. Dodgers batting in the top of the seventh. They have two on with two out. They've had runners on base tonight, but have not been able to punch it through. Padres getting four runs in the first off of Julio Urias, and so this is where we sit right now. The best new rivalry in baseball. The Padres in the driver's seat, up 6-1 as the Dodgers bat in the seventh inning.
And Yu Darvish setting records.
Look at Yu Darvish. They checked him. He was fine. They're checking all the pitchers. Everybody is fine. And Yu Darvish is just not the guy he was in 2017 anymore.
Fastest to 1,500 Ks in Major League history.
Yeah, it's only because DeGrom's not there yet. Just got to give DeGrom a little while longer. Just give him a little while longer. It's all good.
Just keep duct taping him together, buddy.
That's right. You know, and here's the thing, honestly, about Jacob DeGrom, right? So today, Jacob DeGrom pitches the first game of a doubleheader for the Mets, and he becomes the first player to be checked under Major League Baseball's new rules of you can't load up the baseball. They were going to check all the pitchers, and this is how it was going to be. Today was the first day. The Mets played a doubleheader, and he pitched great in the first game. Five innings, no runs, one hit. He was typical DeGrom. He lowered his ERA to 0.50. And DeGrom was the first one. After the first inning happened, the umpires came out, as they're doing with all the pitchers now, checking them after the first inning. They checked his glove, checked his belt. He smiled, gave his glove, everything else. He was clean, and he comes back and pitches the rest of the game like nothing went on. And I got to be honest, Mike, because this is something that I can't believe actually happened until today or in the past week, is it took this long for there to be some kind of what is Jacob DeGrom doing that he wasn't doing in the past, right? Because I'm surprised that he hasn't been accused of cheating before now, because DeGrom has been someone who has always been a really good pitcher, right? He started out as a shortstop at Stetson in college, and then he changed his position, and he really rocketed up through the Mets minor league system pretty fast. He comes in and he wins game five on the road for the Mets against the Dodgers in the 2015 playoffs. You can tell then you knew he was going to be really special. But what he's been doing this last couple of seasons and now this season is otherworldly, right? The guy's got two Cy Youngs. He finished third last year, and now here he is throwing 100 miles an hour when he wasn't throwing 100 miles an hour earlier in his career. Now, again, he didn't come up till he was 26 years old, and he's 33 now. So that's something that, all right, well, maybe he's figuring out how to be a pitcher, and he's hitting his stride a little bit later. But still, when you're throwing that hard and you're this dominant, I'm stunned. No one had the is DeGrom cheating questions before now. Up until
but here's
ago,
the thing, they might have
looking at his belt. No, but
they might have. But here's the problem: as soon as you open that can of worms, all the dirt. I mean, everybody knows it's a small community. Everybody knows what's going on. Becomes the, well, your guy. And then you get battles on the field and a lot of talking behind it, which is fun for us, but I don't think they want the discomfort. The ability of Major League Baseball to say, we're going to check everybody, gets a lot of these guys. And with advance warning, right, no spot checks, as you alluded to earlier, it's like the drug testing policy that they've had in place all these years in the National Football League. You know right about when your marijuana test is going to be. Not that, you know, that's going to be a thing going forward, but you always knew, so you could plan accordingly. Likewise, for Major League Baseball, it's like, on Monday, we're going to enforce it. It's the Simpsons. When I nod my head and stamp on your foot and say, good morning, Mr. Thompson, that's where we're at. So everybody was well aware, and to make sure they didn't single your guy out, everybody covering Major League Baseball has gone out of their way to show, look, here they are, the policies and procedures. It's like all the BS PSI testings after the Tom Brady Deflategate nonsense. And then after about a week, you ever see one in a box score or a write-up? Hell no, because nobody gave a damn.
I think he's talking to you. But you know, that's the whole thing is that, you know, when you look at DeGrom as a microcosm, right? I'm stunned no one talked about it before. We had the video about 10 days ago of, oh, he touched his belt after a strikeout. What is it? And, you know, clearly, look, today he went, everything was clean, he pitched great. I'm really surprised that it's taken till now for DeGrom just because of watching his rise go the way it is. But when you diagram how Major League Baseball is dealing with this situation, it's really genius because they're dealing with it in a way that makes it seem like they're dealing with it, but they're really not. Right? Because look, as we illustrated, they're telling us we're going to check the starting pitchers after the first inning. So obviously, hey, don't be stupid. Don't go out there with sticky stuff on your hands in the first inning. And in subsequent innings, don't have us have to come back to you with, hey, this ball is really loaded up, because then we'll check you again and you'll be out of the game. So what they want to happen is they want all the pitchers, when they check for the first time, to be clean. Right? They're checking the pitchers after the first inning and relievers when they come in the game. Okay, and as long as you're not stupid, and we're telling you this, Major League Baseball pitchers, so you're not stupid, don't get caught when you come to the game with sticky stuff. So already, what happens is what? All fans are checking this out, what's going to happen, and umpires aren't catching anybody. So we think, okay, they've figured out their way, they're not using the sticky stuff anymore. Meanwhile, some of them are using the sticky stuff, they'll go back to it in later innings, long as they're not out of control with it. And that's what baseball wanted. Right, but baseball just says, just don't go out of control with this. Just don't make it out of control. We have to wind up suspending you, and we'll be able to take care of this in a couple of weeks. So now that the pitchers know when they're going to be searched, and as long as you're not over the top with it, this will be a story that goes for a couple of weeks and then it goes away. Baseball doesn't want to catch anybody. They don't want to catch anybody because it looks awful for the game if everybody's loading up the baseball and this is how I'm winning. They don't want to catch anyone. So I'd be surprised if they can. If they catch anybody, you're stupid because they're looking, oh, I shouldn't have done it. You're stupid. But that's how baseball wants to handle this, and that's how it's going to work. It looks like we're on top of it, but we're really letting you know, hey, this is when we're going to examine you, so don't have stuff on your hands. All right, great. Then if I want to go back to it, I'm not over the top, and I can still figure out a happy medium with it. And in 2 weeks, this won't be a story. And we're going to move on from this, and baseball has figured things out. And in the end, they're hopeful to get some more runs on the board because pitchers will use a little bit less sticky stuff, so maybe they'll have a little bit less ability to make the ball do what they want to do, and we get more hits out of it. And that's all that Major League Baseball is hoping for, that by the time we get to the 4th of July weekend, there's more runs being scored than the whole doom and gloom of baseball with, oh, the pitchers are dominating. You know, that's going to go by the wayside. So everything is going great for Major League Baseball right now because how they're doing it, they want to do it by just kind of doing it. It's genius. It's absolute genius.
Well, I would love also to see trucks pull up at every Major League Baseball stadium and on a giant stack, a couple of pallets worth maybe, of baseballs, a card from the Office of Commissioner. Let's get this game started. All new baseballs, baby. All new and ready like the Super Bowls we remember. And that'll solve that, too. Because, you know, saying, hey, hitting coaches, managers, get with your guys and go back to fundamentals and change your approach to combat what pitchers are doing. Nah, that's too easy.
That's just what they'll be expecting us to do. We can't.
They'll
do
never
that.
Go for that. That's work.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Now, meanwhile today, once we started the day, we thought this was going to be the big story of the day, and then certain things happened. We had the Carl Nassib storyline, now Major League Baseball's checking people. But earlier today, a huge victory for college athletes who want to get paid. As a Supreme Court of the United States unanimously affirmed a ruling that provides for an incremental increase in how college athletes can be compensated. It also helps open the door to future legal challenges that could really just blow up the NCAA model as it is right now. But basically, the Supreme Court votes 9-0 against the NCAA and says, listen, players can be paid, they can be compensated better than the model that's out there right now.
Well, this is about educational-related expenses. That's,
yes.
That nice which nebulous is, terms, which isn't yes, the same kinda, as getting paid.
Right, but it opens the door to somehow find a way to get paid.
There's another
you find
exactly.
a way for it. Yeah. Now, the two biggest things of this is, one is, how often do you see the Supreme Court 9-0 on something? I mean, never, right? It's never.
No.
And to see everybody, you know, Republicans, Democrats across the board go, this is the worst thing, and college sports should be ashamed of this. I'm going, wow, this is amazing. We can cross party lines if we want to. It's 9-0. I guarantee you the NCAA goes, we lost 9-0. I mean, it wasn't 5-4. It wasn't where we just lost it. No, we lost 9-0. Wow, that's like we were facing DeGrom today, man. I can't believe that. So you never see that. But now that this happens, all I can think of is that how greedy college got and the NCAA got that, no, we're gonna push against this all the way through, even when we see that we don't have the room anymore. All right, we used to have all the support in the world that college athletes get a scholarship, they get exposure, they get all these things, they get treated really well. They get a value of a scholarship to university that's anywhere between $80,000 and $150,000 value for a year. All these things they get. But when they saw they started to lose, instead of saying, okay, you know what, let's open the door and figure something out, they decided to go all the way to the wall. Nope, we're not going to let these kids get paid. And number one, that lost a lot of support, because if you would at least come a little bit towards them and said, okay, let's try to figure something out, okay, then it would have been a little bit more manageable. But instead, they went the other way to, no, we're not doing it. It goes all the way to Supreme Court, and they lost, and now the door is open for so much. And all I can do is say, you know what, the NCAA, clearly, they need leadership, better leadership more than any other entity, because they can't get on the same page for the college football playoff, for NCAA tournament things. And here they are. They lost this when clearly they saw the train is coming down the tunnel. You're going to lose. No. We're going to keep pushing. No, you're going to lose. Figure out how to lose the best way possible. No, now the door is wide open, right? And Jim Boeheim actually said the best thing today that I read about it was that, you know, he said, well, now that they're open, now the question is going to be about compensation. And they said, what do you mean? And he said, well, let's say a kid gets a chance to do a car commercial, right? Can he get paid $50,000 for it? Or is it $20,000? Or is it $5,000? Like, what's that money going to be? You know, so now we're haggling about what the number's going to be, but the door is now open for all of this to happen. And the NCAA could have controlled it more. They could have figured out incremental increases, given the players a little bit something, but because they decided to say, no, we're doubling down on a losing hand, this is where they're at. So it's their fault. I'm happy for the players that they won, because now the guys that are really getting taken advantage of are going to get to make some money in college, and that's great. You know, the guys that they're selling their jerseys and their likenesses, all the big superstars, they should be getting more money. The Cade Cunningham should be getting more money. The Zion Williamson should be getting money, because they're carrying the game, and clearly college sports are banking in and cashing in on these players. So I'm glad that they're getting that, but boy, I just look at the NCAA and I go, you just completely blew this. You saw how this was going to end. You still said, nope, we're going to play this losing hand.
I'm trying to figure out which actor to attribute this to. But you know the gif that goes around where you kind of slide towards the table and then you put your head in your hands, like, and you start, you know, blinking your eyes really fast, like, okay, entertain me, I'm intrigued. That's where this led today, because there's so many offshoots of this when you go into the antitrust rulings and tax exemptions, and do they become employees, thereby this stuff becomes taxable, which is a whole other world, and if you want to, then you start extrapolating into other places and institutions that are tax exempt, when you start getting into religion and nonprofits and whatever else. Like, there's there's all sorts of other stuff that starts to get put into this vortex as well. But yeah, name, image, and likeness, certainly, while it's going to be a positive, it's also going to change the game, and maybe you have even a bigger chasm, right? Everybody always complains, only these four teams, you know, does it really work for in terms of winning? Is that going to hurt that, or is it going to make it more open? I don't know, because being associated with the top brand, like a winning program in Alabama, is still going to have more cachet than being the number one guy. And I'll let you pick directional school here. No offense to anybody across the nation listening, and we appreciate and love you all that went to or is at a directional college right now. But we use that as the catch-all for, you're not one of the heavyweights, right? It's like being a mid-major in college buckets, I guess the same idea. So we'll see how that starts to flow. But Boeheim's question is also one that I think is fair of, are there limits going to be on this, or is it unlimited? You know, what's Title IX and how that plays in? What about the non-revenue sports? What does it all mean in terms of how you treat it equitably? But yes, getting everybody to agree, including Judge Thomas and Kavanaugh. I mean, how many times did you see the "I like beer" meme passing your headlines? So yeah, unanimous. I'd love to have been in the room as this was discussed, because I don't think there's ever been in recent memory. This cannot stand kind of moment.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike gets swollen dome. AutoZone has more ways for you to start your job your way. That means getting what you need fast. Some jobs can't wait, and that's why AutoZone offers free same-day store pickup. With their free same-day store pickup, you can order online and pick it up today at more than 5,600 AutoZone locations. Some jobs can wait, and that's why AutoZone offers free next-day delivery on orders over $35. Free next-day delivery is available on over 100,000 parts, so visit AutoZone.com today. That's AutoZone.com to start your job fast. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Well, we get into a conversation about what's next for a one-time NBA superstar who now is no longer one after yesterday. It's next, Fox. Not yext, yex.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Top
of the eighth, Padres lead the Dodgers 6-1. Yu Darvish with a big start for San Diego tonight. The Dodgers have a lot of work to do if they're going to try to get back in this one fast. They had runners on the corners two innings ago. They had first and second an inning ago. Last inning they had second and third. They could not punch through, and so the Padres continue to lead 6-1 again. Dodgers coming to bat in the top of the eighth inning. So while we, I know we're also celebrating the Diamondbacks winning tonight. Congratulations.
I was going to say, they're hot on their trail now.
Yeah, they just picked up a half game in the loss column with the Dodgers, so that's a pretty big night for them. I don't know when the Diamondbacks will win again, but they did win tonight, so that is something.
Long road begins with the first step, buddy.
The Diamondbacks are now only 26 games out of first place. 26 games out of first place. Their run differential is now at -103, so it is getting better. They are now 1-9 in their last 10. They still have the 23 game road losing streak. Oh, by the way, so But in Arizona, they really don't care because they're all about the Suns, right? Suns are winning, things are great, NBA players are fantastic. Not so fantastic for the 76ers. And in a conversation we had on Thursday, which everybody else caught up to today, we told you, listen, Ben Simmons clearly is not the same guy that they thought he was. He's the same player from his rookie season. He won't shoot in the fourth quarter. He doesn't hit free throws. He doesn't affect the game. And the Sixers are going to have to trade him. Congratulations to everybody else who came around to that conversation today. So now we're going to push the Ben Simmons conversation in a new direction. You just got to hit the show a week ago, and you would know. That's kind of what
happens. Every night, add it to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you get your audio. And let's face it, it's going to be a tough pill when you're talking about $33 million a year. The guy still does a lot of things well. Yeah. And that's the hard part of the conversation, because once the attack dogs are out, it gets really bad. And that's really what's happened over the last 24 hours, especially once Doc Rivers does everything to deflect any blame from himself. And Joel Embiid gets to the post-game press conference and points out, well, some fundamental flaws in your game.
Oh, so you mean like this, when Doc Rivers was asked after yesterday's Game 7 loss, hey, can you still win a championship? Is Ben Simmons going to be on the team next year? And this was Doc's answer.
Doc, do you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. You know, so I don't know the answer to that.
What do you, when you say get in the gym with him, what needs to be done? I mean, obviously, this is coaching.
Yeah, I mean, that's between Ben and I.
Hey, Ben, do you see this bus right here? Can you just check under the beginning of it, the grill for me? I think I dropped something there. Can you check there? Okay, great. No, go, look, bus. You run him over.
You either have to sell. He's growing. We've got to work with him. And all of those things in that moment. Or you got to go full Mike Singletary. Can't win with him. Can't do it. You know, all of those, that old soundbite. In this case, I really don't know. I mean, there's a lot going on. It's like, come on, Doc.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's what Doc does. Hey, it's not my fault. And so I want you to know it's completely not my fault. And so now this is the beginning of the Sixers understanding.
Yeah.
Oh, Doc Rivers will throw us under the bus if things don't go well. Oh, I get it.
By the way, and I know, you know, you and I, obviously, we come on at 7 p.m. Pacific, so you've had a full day of talking points, and I'm sure more than one person has said this. Aren't you firing Doc Rivers?
It's tough. You finished first in the East.
That's great.
That's a
tough
one.
But you saw he was up to his same old tricks as you got to the playoffs once again.
But I think he's got this season to buy as, hey, look what I did when I came in, and we got nothing from Ben Simmons. No, I think Doc
has a pass. You got as far as you were going before.
Hey, look, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying in the pantheon of, hey, we need to move some people out, who's to blame? Doc Rivers is not the number one guy on the list. It's Ben Simmons. And
you got to have a fall guy.
Ben Simmons is that guy. He does need to move on, as we've said it. The Sixers are paying him to be the second best player on the team, and he's not even close, right? He won't take, like I said, he won't take shots at the end of games. He's afraid to go to the free throw line because he can't hit free throws. He's just not that guy. And so when you think about what's next for him, yes, there will be suitors for him, even though he's making $35 million a year. This is a guy that was a three-time All-Star, and there are some teams that he would fit well in that have that money. He would fit well with the Lakers. He would fit well with the Warriors, who can say, you know what, come in and be our third or fourth best guy, and then we got something. Because then you don't have to worry about changing. Because here's the thing about Ben Simmons. He ain't going to change. This is the guy he's going to be. You can sit here and say, what does Ben Simmons need to do? Ben Simmons needs to become a much better free throw shooter. Okay, what else? He's got to start taking and hitting threes. Okay, what else? He's got to want to take big shots at the end of games. Okay, that's a lot for a guy that's 24 years old. Guy's been in the league a long time.
Yeah, but he doesn't have change. He doesn't have to be exceptional at those, though. He's just got to be functional and willing to take a shot. Right?
Because
he wouldn't even go dunk the ball.
No.
That's the video that you saw on a loop going, my God. And you're feeling for him at the same time. Right? On one hand, you're going, come on, man. Just dunk the ball. On the other, you're like, oh, what's going through his head? That he won't even trust himself to do that. So I've come down on the, I hope he can find someone to help him get right to where mentally that's not an impediment, right? The old Chuck Knoblauch throw to first base is the, I guess, baseball equivalent. NFL, you pick any guy that doesn't throw 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. and then you've got Ben Simmons.
But that's not going to be good enough for the Sixers. To be just a guy, I'm going to shoot a little bit more. There's a little bit more. The Sixers need more. They need to get rid of that money that is sunk into Ben Simmons and be ready to put it into somebody else who's going to come in and be a different guy. Ben Simmons isn't going to change. That's the thing, is that there are certain things you can do and players can do to improve as players. Yeah, I can do X, Y, and Z, but you're asking Ben Simmons to do a lot. This is just who he is. He's got to find a team that will allow him to succeed being the player he is. And that's a team that has two other offensive options that he can get the ball to, where he can still be someone who plays great defense. And look, he was great defensively on Trae Young in this series. He was terrific. But
when he and Thibault were working together, come on, how fun was that?
Yeah, he was able to do some really good things, but not enough for what the Sixers need from him. And you need to be an offensive threat, and he's not. So to think that he's going to suddenly do all three of these things better is not going to happen. And now, could he be a better version of himself someplace else? Yeah, but he's got to go someplace else. And he's not going to be a Sixer because he's going to be this guy. So let's go someplace where I can maybe win a little bit and I can fit in someplace better. Yeah, I'm making $35 million a year. Boy, I'd be a really good number three player with the Lakers. I'd be a really good third or fourth player with the Warriors. They have money. They can fit me in. I can go someplace else. Look, the Knicks
where
need
the
offense.
Lakers have
and
money.
I don't have offense, but they love playing defense. So, you know, they can find a way to – be able to take Ben Simmons and say, all right, you come in here and be our guy. We can figure out a way for you to come in. We have the shot makers. We have the guys we rely on. Now we need you to kind of do your thing and play great defensively where you can lock down the best players in the conference, all the big guards. You know, we don't have to worry about Damian Lillard going nuts or Devin Booker going nuts. You can do that to us, and then suddenly you really have something. But with the Sixers, it's done.
The salary cap's only going to be $109 million.
Done.
Yeah, the cap threshold's 132. But you take them to the Lakers, you got two guys that between them make $72 million.
Yeah, does it? Add him, third guy
that means you got $9 million for the other guys on the roster.
That's okay. Look, when the Heat first got the Heatles, they had like $2 million to fill like 11 slots with. All right, and they were able to do it. You can figure out a way.
Yeah, but they were playing in the East, and most of those teams weren't very good. I mean, Alex Caruso's getting ready to get a raise. He's only making 275. Yeah, you're going to get rid of Kuzma to anybody that wants him, but you got some big decisions to make on that roster.
You can find guys that can come off the bench and give you a little bit if you're playing those three stars. All right, you can find a way. Look, the Nets were
that, and you're banking on both those guys to stay healthy next year and have Ben Simmons be the number three in terms of salary after all of you just said about his offense.
Sure,
my man, come on now.
But what are the choices the Lakers have? It's like, okay, we have to go with LeBron and AD. That's kind of, well, it's we have no choice.
No, I'm saying if you're going to bring in another guy, you know, if to use my shark tooth analogy, one of those guys takes a bite, i.e. rolls an ankle, knee, whatever else, and misses time, and not just load management extended in the regular season, now Ben Simmons has to be a scorer?
No, he doesn't have to be a scorer. He's got to do
if
what he
does. If one of those
guys
is out, he does.
He needs to create. Just put him on the Lakers, right? Just say for the Lakers for a second, okay? He comes in at point guard. He allows LeBron to play off the ball a little bit, not have to worry about bringing the ball up all the time, puts a little more tread on LeBron's tires. He doesn't need to shoot. He needs to be able to create because he needs to be able to get the ball to LeBron and get the ball to AD. Those guys are going to make shots. Defensively, okay, you know what you have tonight? You have Lillard tonight. You have Devin Booker tonight. You have Donovan Mitchell tonight. This is what they need from Ben Simmons. He will fit in perfectly with what they need. Same thing with the Warriors. They got guys that make shots. You know, hopefully Klay Thompson comes back and he's close to what he was, but with Curry and Klay, and now here he is, and talk about, you know, Draymond is there too. Who knows what you'd have to probably trade Wiggins to make the salary fit, but, you know, that's where a place where he can fill. Listen, I'm just going to be a point guard here. I'm going to distribute and get it to the guys, and that's it. They're a place for him to fit. There are places for Ben Simmons to go where he can continue to enjoy a good NBA career, but to think he's going to be suddenly great and make these big changes, it's not going to happen. I mean,
yeah,
this,
I'm just going to say,
I'm
really, you know, hoping for the best for him. Like, that if he wants to be great, that he gets past whatever the hurdle is, because that's tough to watch. Because, you know, trying to figure out exactly, because you're just so used to guys, hey, I got the ball, I'm going. And he's aggressive in the first half, but not the second. Like, there's something there that hopefully they find the fix, because he's fun to watch.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Look, the biggest story in the NFL today. Vegas Raiders defensive lineman Carl Nassib has been in the league for a few years, in the middle of a three-year, $34 million contract. Has come out as gay. He is the first active NFL player to publicly come out as gay. And we've talked a lot tonight about the implications and why this is not going to be as big a deal. His hope is that announcements like this in the very near future are just met as being announcements. But today, it's a huge, huge story, right? Now, in the coming days, he's going to get his wish, and it's going to be great because he wants this to be where, hey, I don't think this should be a story, but I'm hopeful that day is coming soon. And I'm telling you, it's coming soon because this is a story that's big today. There will be a couple of days after it, but this isn't going to have legs with being a divisive topic and being something where, like it was with Michael Sam, where can openly gay players play? Will they be accepted by their teammates? So what will the coaches feel about that? Is this going to be something where they feel like they can have togetherness in the locker room? None of those questions are going to be asked like they were from Michael Sam. All that stuff is out the window, right? The definition of toxic masculinity has changed over the past few years, right? You have 23-year-old guys now coming out, you know, athletes coming out, you know, all the Generation Zers that have grown up and had gay teammates and had gay friends, and it's not that big a deal and they don't care. So now that these players are coming into the game, it's, yeah, I don't care. I don't care about that. He's a good guy. He's a good teammate. Yeah. Generally, the younger generation cares less about what your sexual orientation is. And because of that, this story is going to be exactly what Carl Nassib hopes it is. It's going to be a story for a couple of days, and then it's going to kind of go away. And that's going to fill other gay players with confidence that they can come out and not have to worry about dealing with whatever the fallout is on social media or from their teammates or anything else. And then very soon it's going to be a story that it just becomes a headline. If a star player comes out as gay, well, that's going to be a story, but then it's going to go away. And that's kind of where we are right now, that there's no, I don't think the desire of to have a lengthened storyline and debate about gay players in sports has the legs that it did 7 years ago when Michael Sam first came out. We've moved on to different things. Different things are now much more important in our lives, where 7 years ago, well, this is a huge debate and there's people on both sides and I say X and you say Y and all. I just don't see that we have that anymore, Mike.
Well, I also don't think that the climate and the culture where we're at right now, there's going to be people that have a dissenting opinion that may not feel like they can put it out in the open anymore, right? That maybe to some degree where we're at in society 2021, that's reversed. So we'll see. I mean, you're still going to have some form something, whether it's fans, whether it's a coach, or you're still gonna have teammates. Like, it's not gonna be 100%, but yes, I'd like to think that we're a more evolved culture and society in some ways where we have these discussions, and that's the key. We're actually having these discussions. I liked the way he made his announcement. It's like, all right, here it is. This is what I'm gonna do. Thank you. Take care. And out he went. And so hopefully, yeah, we get to that day. Jason Collins, former NBA player, talking about, you know, what impact this has for younger people, younger athletes, and then even for older athletes, right? Maybe those that whose careers are done, that maybe they can examine and feel more comfortable to share who they are. The ramifications are potentially huge, but obviously some level of curiosity to see how it flows. The NFL putting out a statement, I think, was a pretty big push. And I think also, you know, given the history of the Oakland/Los Angeles/Las Vegas Raiders and Al Davis, as we know, with Amy Trask and people in the organization always have been forward thinking in terms of a lot of approach, that I think it's to some degree appropriate that this is the way it flows and that Nassib's the first coming out of that organization.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up next, how about this NFL story? Who was Tom Brady MFing earlier today? What quarterback? What team? We got the choices and narrow it down for you next. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yes, sir.
And who was Tom Brady MFing today? Well,
you.
We're going to break that. No, not me, as far as you know. He's appearing on Barbershop. It's going to air on HBO, and the teaser came out today. The interview features Chelsea Handler, who, hey, welcome back, Chelsea Handler. Chelsea Handler is going to interview players in a roundtable type situation. We saw some bits from Draymond Green. We saw some Tom Brady. But This is the money quote from today where it was released in the teaser trailer that Brady is talking about as free agent wooing of last offseason, and he talked about how surprised he was that one team didn't want to sign him when he said...
One of the teams, and they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother...
So what team and what quarterback was Tom Brady talking about when he said, you're sticking with that mother blanker? First of all, I love the fact that Brady's at the IDGAF part of his career. Right?
Oh, you sure.
I spent 20 years with the Patriots. I couldn't say or do anything. I was the good soldier. I took less money. Where did it get me? Blank that. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to make sure everybody knows how I feel about everybody. I'm going to drink avocado tequila and look all sloppy after I won the Super Bowl. I'm going to make sure people know what's going on, that you're going to keep this guy over me. I love the new Tom Brady because I guarantee you every day, Mike Harmon, he sits back and says, I wish I could have done this the last 10 years. I wish I, but everything in New England was so constricting and I couldn't really be me. But now it's like, you know what? Blank you, man. I don't care. I got IDGAF all over the place.
Yeah, but now you could do it and there will be absolutely no repercussions to it, right? You're the GOAT. Whereas you were building that legacy, maybe if you'd gotten a little bit loud along the way, maybe the focus, quote unquote, wouldn't have been there. Maybe that you would have been assailed a little bit for things. I mean, we laughed at the holding up four fingers against the Bears, and then it was gone, just like that, until he made fun of it months later because they went on a winning streak. And it
right, they won the Super Bowl, yeah. They
well, well
done,
but I mean,
he wouldn't have done that if they didn't win at all.
But as soon as they started winning, though, then, all right, that was just a weird moment in time. And then, obviously, yeah, he's having fun and living his best life. But I think, to his credit, he's recognizing, all right, the finish line's here, whether it's the end of this year or maybe one more after. And you got to start prepping for the next. And maybe he wants to start working on comedies. He's seen LeBron kind of act. The other thing is he's taking for the LeBron James playbook of how do I make things about me on a day or every third day basis. So... you know, they do have that in common. And now he appears on the shop, you know, which is LeBron's vehicle. So go figure.
Yeah, I want to get I want to bleed every moment out of my stardom that I can because I gave away years of this being with the Patriots. And now, no. I want to make sure that I get every second out of this. All right, so
I can't fault a good strategy.
No, it is. Well, it's actually a bad strategy because you could have done this for a long time ago, realizing, oh, I really was the most powerful guy in New England. I could have done this. So who could he have been talking about? Right? What quarterback could he have been talking about? What team? I got it down to four teams, and one team I think I can eliminate. I got a 10% chance it was the Bears because, like, you can easily say that about Mitchell Trubisky, and there could have been some interest, but I don't think the Bears were in it down to the end because Brady says teams I was in it with down to the end.
Right.
So I, even though it would fit, I don't see the Bears as being one of those teams. The three that I like...
Okay.
We talked to Jason Lockenfour earlier, and he said he thought it was the Chargers. Clearly, he wanted the Chargers. They were in it down till the end.
Well,
they decided we're going to go to the NFL draft.
Well, think
so
about
it could
it
have
also,
been Tyrod Taylor.
Well, or it could have been Phillip Rivers before they dealt him.
Well, I don't know that he would have said that. Rivers is a pretty good quarterback still. So, I mean,
but,
had accomplished
winning?
A lot. No, they weren't winning, but, you know, he
just
was
saying,
I don't know that he would have said that.
Another year of Phillip with the numbers that he'd put up and everything. I'm sorry, Frostberg.
Yeah.
Just calling it what it is, though. That,
it could have been.
It could have been Tyrod Taylor. It could have also been in the early part where you still had Phillip.
Yeah, I'm giving Chargers and it was a 30%. I'm
okay.
Also going to give 30% that it was the Niners because of the Garoppolo factor, because he clearly doesn't like that Garoppolo was drafted to be his heir apparent. He had to push him out of town, and now I want to go to the Niners because we knew that was one of the teams that he wanted to go to at the end. And for the Niners to say, no, we're sticking with Jimmy, that had to hurt him a little bit. So I'm going to say yes on the Niners. But I'm going to say the third team was probably the Giants. I'm going to put a 30% chance that it was Daniel Jones. You're going to stick with that blanker because New York was the choice. Where am I going to go bigger than New England, where I already have a presence and have a home where I can sell more TB12 stuff and they would love me right away? I think I got 3-4 years. They would love me in New York. It's not the Jets. I'm going to the Giants. But here we find out, yeah, we're going to go forward with Daniel Jones for one more year. So I'm going to say 30% it was the Giants. 30 for the, and equally was either Chargers, 49ers, or the Giants.
Go to the Giants, even though it's New York, the team that beat you twice in the Super Bowl. That would be an interesting one. Yeah, the 49ers, I think, is probably the one that stands out most. I know Scott Zolak out there in Boston, who's had a worked for the team and obviously has known Brady forever, was theorizing that it was Tennessee in the in displacing Ryan Tannehill. I wonder about Miami in terms of it would have been Tannehill or it would have been Ryan Fitzpatrick with the, you know, Brian Flores connection and what they were doing. Right. Instead of drafting ahead, et cetera. So, yeah, lots of teams on the table here. And I like the bravado. I like the brash area. I would say I'd lean heaviest towards San Francisco, though.
Twitter at how about a Fresca? Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Our best of podcast goes up in about 10 minutes on iTunes. Use the iHeartRadio app. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can get it. Download, subscribe, listen to us, rate us. We'll love you forever and ever and ever. For Mike, I'm Jason. Coming up next, my buddy Ben Maller. You are listening to Fox Sports Radio. DeGrom, yo.